Look at the base text for this series of messages that we're looking at on Sunday mornings. I was going to have everybody take a hymn book and turn to I Know Whom I Have Believed, because the chorus of that song is pretty well word for word what the 12th verse of 2 Timothy tells us. And I haven't said it directly, I've tried to imply it and impress it upon you. But I hope you'll get that 12th verse of 2 Timothy 1 memorized. I think you'll be blessed if you really get a hold of those words that the Apostle Paul spoke. I know you'll be blessed if you can make them your own. Second Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. This is the part I hope you'll commit to memory. For I know whom. Look at it in his pieces. I know whom. I know him. I know Jesus, is what Paul is saying. In a personal relationship. I know whom I have believed. It's Jesus that spoke to me. It is Jesus that I have believed what he had to say when he saved me, and I've committed unto him certain things when he saved me. And no matter what I go through, I know he's going to keep those things until the day I'm in his presence. It's just a wonderful passage of scripture for a Christian living in any time, but especially a Christian living in these times. Be able to say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When the Lord saved our unworthy souls, he made some promises and some commitments to us. And in granting us repentance and faith, he caused us to commit some things to his keeping. Our lives, our souls, our salvation, our time. We've deposited those things with him. And we need to be fully convinced that he is able to keep those things that I have committed unto him until we're in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul lived by that creed. We saw last week how in chapter 4 he was able to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. There's laid up for me a crown. He was fully convinced of that because he was fully convinced of this creed that he lived by, that he lived according to. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is able. And as we make this journey from the time we're saved until the time we're in the presence of the Lord, we must have confidence he's able to keep these things. That's much more than just eternal security. It's a blessed, blessed ability to be able to say, you believe he's able. One day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. We know that because we've committed these things and he's able to keep these things. And as we journey from the point of our salvation to our presence with Jesus, he's able to keep all of these things. So we're safe, we're secure. He's able to succor us. He is able to help us, to aid us along this journey. He is able to do all that we ask or think. Whatever we pray for, we need to believe He is able. See, as we journey from point A to point B, we've committed these things to His keeping, and we must believe He is able. But as we make this journey, He's able to do all that we need. I mean, there's no cause for insecurity. We're going to make the journey. And every step of the day, He has provided for us all that we need for the journey. He's able to aid us. He's able to secure us. He's able to keep us. He's able to answer our prayers. Now, if you take your Bibles to the book of Jude, we ask Brother Luke to change the scripture reading this morning. Have him read the book of Jude. That is really our text. Having read it already in the service, we can expedite some things. The real theme of the book of Jude, I believe, is found in verse 3. I think it's self-explanatory. Jude said, "When I took all diligence and I had purposed to write unto you about the common salvation," writing to believers, "but I really wanted to write to you about salvation," maybe he's saying, "I really wanted to write to you about grace, about the amazing grace of God. It was needful for me not to write on that subject, but the Lord moved me." Impressed upon my heart in verse 3, "that it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That's the theme of Jude. That's what he's writing about. That's why he's writing. He's charging, he's challenging us to earnestly contend for the faith, not to fall, not to falter, not to stumble, not to fall by the wayside, but to earnestly contend for the faith, to stand, come what may, no matter what day and age God's people live in as they read this passage of Scripture. We need to stand. Stand. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, because in verse number 4 he says, "There are certain men," from verse 4 over to verse 16, he's talking about those kind of men, those who have not stood, those that have faltered, those that have stumbled, those that have fallen into error, those that have fallen into sin. He has much to say about them. But he's speaking specifically in the book of Jude to the you of this book. "It was needful for me to write unto you because there are many falling by the wayside, stumbling in the faith." And in verse 17 through 25, he speaks specifically about the you. "It was needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith because of these. But I charge you to keep yourself in the faith." Keep yourself in the faith. Not to stumble. Not to fall. However long the journey is that you have before us, from that salvation to being in the presence of the Lord, however long that is for you, I want to challenge you, I want to charge you to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own godly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But you keep yourself. Don't be like those that are described in verse 4 through 16. He plainly says there in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Then he comes to the last two verses of the book of Jude. And here's the wonderful words. I felt burdened of the Lord to write unto you, to challenge you, to charge you, to earnestly contend for the faith because of all these. Keep yourself. Keep yourself standing. Keep yourself from stumbling. Keep yourself from falling. Then he comes to this great glorious climax in verse number 24. Now unto him. Who's the him? The God that's referenced in verse 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from stumbling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling into error, falling into sin, falling by the wayside. Unto him be glory. He's able. He's able. There's just a shade of difference here between what he said there in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is talking about the salvation experience and those things he'd committed unto the Lord until the days of the presence of the Lord. Same thought in these verses, but it has to do with the journey. As we journey, he's able to succor us. As we journey, he is able to answer our prayers, do whatever we ask. On this journey, he's able to keep us from falling. See, we've got this idea many times in the minds of Christians. Well, it's inevitable, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble, it can't be prevented. We're not perfect. We don't have to fall. We don't have to stumble. We don't have to be tripped up. Because he is able. He's able to keep that which we've committed unto him until we're with the Lord. He is able to help us, to aid us. He's able to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers and to give us what we need. And he is able to keep us from falling. We don't have to fall. We don't have to be stumbled up, tripped up. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, unto him be glory. as we make this journey from the day the Lord saved us until the time we're in the presence of the Lord, He's able to keep us from falling. Look in Romans 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received us. There's a thought there we're not going to get into in these first three verses. It's most appropriate for the day and time in which we live. Some people have these convictions. Some people don't have these convictions. There's a difference there. One believes he may eat all things, another eateth herbs. Let us be careful not to look down upon those who are a little different in their convictions, or what we might call secondary things. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. He shall be holden up. Why? For God is able. God is able to make him stand. Chapter 16. Verse 24 and 25. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now to him that has power to establish you, settle you, cause you to stand, keep you from falling, keep you contending for the faith. 2 Peter Second Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're able to stand. We're able not to stumble. not to fall, because he is able. He is able to keep us from falling. And in our opening text, it's in relationship to our salvation and our trusting him and our believing in him, things he said to us and committing unto his keeping. Into these other verses we're looking at, it has to do with that journey we're talking about. But the end is the same. Our being in the presence of the Lord, our being in the presence of his glory. For so an entrance shall be ministered, shall be given unto you abundantly. An entrance shall be given into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the end is the same. He is able. In our text of verse 24, Jude says in that 24th verse, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," he goes on to say, "unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and he is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to him be glory." He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, the wonder of the wording of God's Holy Scripture. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless. You just kind of got to let your imagination go. He's able to keep us from falling, from stumbling, from being tripped up, from falling into sin, falling into error. He's able to get us through this journey without that falling and that stumbling, or being hindered or even being destroyed. Ultimately, he is able to present us, you and me, faultless. That's some language here. You just excuse the expression. You got to chew on a while. I had to chew on that first verse from 2 Timothy a long while before I began to get the glory and the depth out of it. All of these passages that speak about God's being able, you got to chew on them a while. And the longer you chew on them, the more you step back, the more you're drawn to look up and give glory to God. Because he's able. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get there. Because he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I'm going to make it, I know, because he is able to do everything that is needed on the journey and provide everything I need for the journey. The more you chew on that stuff, the greater God gets. The more dependent we become. But you chew on that. He is able to present us faultless. Do you remember the day when you were faultless? Everybody ought to have a memory problem answering that question. There's never been a time. We're born sinners. We come into this world speaking lies, dead and depraved. But there's a day when he's going to present us faultless. Faultless. And here's more words that just cause me to wonder. He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. Wow, there's some deep stuff there. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless. He's able to present us faultless in the presence of His glory. There's something there deeper than just in His presence, seeing Jesus. But He's going to present us faultless before the presence, as we're brought into the presence of His glory. He's able. He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Is He going to do that with exceeding joy? Or is our being presented faultless into the presence of His glory, is that exceeding joy ours? Probably both. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. The joy set before Him was saving my soul. He endured the cross because He knew the end result was going to be my redemption. Boggles the mind. There's something that makes God happy about His people being brought into His presence. And there's certainly something that makes us happy to think about our being brought into His presence faultless. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to be perfect. Never been there. But I will be one day. I shall see Him as He is, and I will be like Him. 1 John 3, is it? I'm going to be faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Get over it. You old grumpy Christian. Claim these promises. I know whom I have believed. I believe. I've committed some things unto Him, and He's made some promises, and I've believed in Him, believed what He said. And that which I've committed, I believe He's able to keep that until I'm in His presence. I believe He's able to give me everything I need to make the journey. And when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be mad about it. I'm going to be there with exceeding joy. And I know this is beyond our comprehension, because there's no way we can imagine it. But as we are now, it's not what we're going to be then. But as we are then, we'll be similar to how we are now, for we shall be known even as we are known in heaven. And we're in a glorified state in heaven. So how much of the old person do we remember? I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we won't remember much of anything, because I don't really think there's much I'd like to remember once I get to heaven. All I want to see is Jesus. But with some connection, some remembrance, some understanding, we're going to find ourselves in a perfect state, thinking perfectly, giving God honor and glory, and we're going to have exceeding joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. joy indescribable. Second Timothy 4. I think we read this recently, but let's do it again. Just read 18. Now the Lord shall deliver me. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Paul reflects at the end of his life about some lonely times, discouraging times, times when nobody stood with him, times when he stood alone. But he stood because he knew who he had believed in. I don't think the evil works are sins that the Apostle Paul committed. I think the evil works there are those circumstances and situations that were coming against him and persecutions and trials. Being put on trial, being taken before the emperor, ultimately hearing the words, "You'll be put to death, Paul. Your head's going to be chopped off. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work," all of these evil works. Here's the thought that's in our original verse. He believed the Lord was able to deliver him from every evil work. Not only deliver him, but will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. I know whom I have believed. God's going to get me through this, and I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand by the grace of God. I'm going to stand because he's able to give me that stand. No matter what I go through, he's going to preserve me to his kingdom. Preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Well, where does the glory go? Big-headed Paul? No. Unto him be glory. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Back to our text. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know I'm one day going to be in his presence because I know he's able. As I make this journey, look forward to being in his presence. I believe he's able. I believe he's able to aid, to help. I believe he's able to do all that I ask for above, abundantly above. I believe he's able to keep me from falling. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now connect the two verses here, this doxology. Now unto him that is able to keep you, to him. Now unto him that is able to keep you, unto him, the only wise God, our Savior, unto him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Glory speaks of dignity and honor. Majesty speaks of greatness as deity. Dominion speaks of power and strength. Power speaks of authority, the right to govern. He is able to keep us from falling. To him be glory. The only wise God and our Savior. Well, actually, it reads more appropriately, correctly. To the only wise God, our Savior. I don't know if you pick up the depth of that statement. God, our Savior. Be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. We'll close there.